Candlewick on Brilliance Audio presents The Sidonian Pyramid by Pete Houtman. Performed by Peter Burkrot. Tucker Fay landed flat on his back with a loud crunch. The impact drove the air from his lungs. He did not know how far he had fallen, or if the sound was that of his bones shattering. All he could think about was breathing. He strained for air, eyes bulging, staring straight up, seeing low, dark clouds pressing down upon him, fading toward black. Then his chest loosened and he drew a shuddering breath. The air hurt. He coughed, thinking for a moment that he was back on top of the World Trade Center, breathing smoke. But there was no smell of burning jet fuel. There was no smell at all. He breathed in again, more slowly. This time he recognized the sensation. Bitter cold. Cold enough to make his teeth hurt and freeze the linings of his nostrils. Swirling ice crystals blasted his face. He rolled away from the wind and pushed himself up onto his knees. He hurt all up and down his back, but nothing seemed to be broken. The crunch he had heard had been the crusted surface of a snowdrift, not his bones. He rose slowly to his feet and looked around, squinting into the wind. Only minutes ago, he had been running through a forest, pursued by an enormous pink maggot. Now he was standing on a flat glacial surface, an icy expanse furrowed with long, irregular drifts of snow. A few dozen yards to either side of him, ghostly, jagged outcroppings of ice and snow rose up like miniature mountains. Tucker tipped his head back. The disco that had spit him out hovered a tantalizing 30 feet directly above his head, barely visible, fading in and out of sight against the leaden clouds. His vision blurred. He blinked. His eyelids dragged across the surface of his eyes. The film of moisture coating his eyeballs had frozen. He blinked rapidly, narrowed his eyes to slits, and once again surveyed his surroundings. The discos were used by the discorporeal Klaatu to visit important historical events. If there was nothing for the Klaatu to look at, there would be no disco. There had to be something here that had attracted them. Unless it was the sheer raw bleakness. The wind picked up, tearing at his ears and nose, cutting through the thin gray fabric of his coveralls. Only his feet, protected by his medicant foot coverings, remained warm. He tucked his bare hands under his armpits and hugged himself. Growing up in Minnesota, Tucker had known cold. The slab-like feel of dangerously chilled cheeks, the nose-cracking, lung-seizing sensation of inhaling 10 below 0 air, the creak of boots on hard frozen snow. But nothing like this. Already his ears were stinging viciously. He headed toward the nearest outcropping, a sharp-toothed ridge of snow and ice about 20 feet high. From the top, he might be able to spot some nearby shelter. He climbed, jamming his toes into the crevices. Halfway up, he slipped and skidded to the bottom, clawing at the ice with his bare hands. Driven by desperation and near panic, he attacked the ridge again, scrabbling his way up, ignoring the pain in his fingers. He reached the crest just as a massive blast of wind-borne ice crystals scoured the ridgetop. Tucker turned his face away from the wind and squeezed his eyes closed, waiting for the ground storm to subside. After a few seconds, the wind eased, and he was able to look out over what lay beyond. An endless sheet of snow-swirled ice, interrupted by more ragged, icy ridges. A bleary, mustard-yellow blob showed through the haze on the horizon. The sun.